You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When they insist we're just not good enough. But we know better. You're gonna look them in the eyes and say, we're gonna do it anyway. 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 Because there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong.
Wonderful stuff. Hello and welcome back to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. That, of course, Barry from EastEnders, Something Inside So Strong. We're going to do it anyway. So, welcome back. I wasn't here last week, so thank you for the guys for looking after things. Very enjoyable listen. And of course, the great thing is I get to come back and we've got another win, 4 from 4, which is always nice to be doing the podcast on that note. I mean, Jack, first and foremost, mate, thank you for filling in. And secondly, because I wasn't here, I mean, have I missed something? What is the reason behind this song? Because I feel once again massively out the loop. So explain things, please.
No worries for stepping in. Absolutely fine. I can't actually remember, but Jordan in the pub about 6:30 on Saturday said, Barry from EastEnders, we're doing that as the intro music. I can't really remember why. Right. So you might have to ask Jordan that one.
Well, I can't remember either, but someone did suggest it. We're going
to
do it.
It doesn't need to be a reason.
No,
Barry,
no,
he's unbelievable.
Barry.
I think it was something to do with the game, in the sense that we just won anyway, despite not playing very well. I think that was it.
Right. Okay. Well, look,
which doesn't actually make a lot of sense in hindsight, and I wasn't that drunk. I don't think Jordan was either. So, yeah. Just go with it. It's fine.
Oh no, absolutely. As I didn't ask or question it once. I just went with it. Very enjoyable.
I'm seeing Barry on Friday.
What do you mean you'll see it? What you can see?
He's at the big festival, Alex James's festival in Cotswolds.
Right.
I'm there. I'm going to see him. I'm going to sing to him. Serenade Barry.
I need to know more about this festival. Is Barry the headline act?
No.
Is he supporting someone he shouldn't be? It's like supporting the Arctic Monkeys.
Barry's the sort of he's the fluffer for other bigger bands, but I can't wait. I don't think I've ever been more excited to see anyone.
Are you bringing the pizza oven? Is that why you're attending?
No, I'm actually going I'm going to see Barry and the gang.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm very intrigued. Beyond injury, no understanding of why we played the music, but it just so turns out Rick is also going to see Barry from EastEnders this weekend at a gig. But look, a disclaimer from me as well. As I said, I do actually feel like a terrible fan because I wasn't there last week. And, you know, when I popped onto the pod, I said I hadn't even seen the game other than the goal itself. I'll be brutally honest, not too dissimilar. Again, this week, I was working covering the National League this weekend. So as I was just saying to the boys, if you want to ask me about Aldershot against York, I can let you know exactly what happened in that one. I have seen extended highlights of the game, but luckily Rick Jord and Jack were all there. So, of course, we can very much talk about the football. Jordan, I'm going to come to you first, mate. So a 2-1 win, dramatic last-minute winner, which is always exciting. What are your thoughts on what is another win? 100% record, 4 games in.
Yeah, I don't think you could have failed to enjoy Saturday, to be honest. It was the first one I'd been this season. I was in Latvia for the Coventry game. I was working for the Huddersfield game. So was really looking forward to getting back down the KP. Not, you know, it was difficult to get that excited about playing Cardiff City at home in the Championship, let alone having when we played them in the Prem before. And in my style, I carried on from where I left off still, missed Ramsey's screamer. And I wasn't alone in missing Cassidy's goal. And I don't know how, but everyone I spoke to after the game seemed to have missed it going because everyone was appealing for a penalty on Vardy. And then you just look round and it was in the back of the net and he was going mad. But watching the highlights back, it was literally the next kick of the ball. So I don't know how everyone's missed it, including me. But I thought first half we played really well, or fairly well. I thought we should have had a penalty on Mavididi. It was at the other end. I've not seen that back, but it looked like a foul. Was pleased for Wanyamarsal Madivadua. As Rick said last week, everyone just calls him Wanyamarsal now. Unbelievable strike. He didn't do a lot else other than that, but I was pleased for him. And I loved his celebration as well. Obviously, Ramsey's goal was just pure quality. We were actually talking in the stands before, like, how's he ended up back at Cardiff? Like, you know, he was at Arsenal and even Juve. And then he went to Rangers. And his career seems to have just nosedived completely. And then when you see that, I think I saw Tanner said arguably nobody else in the league could do that. And I think that's probably a fair comment. I mean, it's an unbelievable strike. Nothing you can do about it at all. And the worst possible time to concede. But we didn't play that well again in the second half. They should have gone 2-1 up. But the finishing at this level, as I've said in the last couple of games, is nowhere near the level of the Prem. And, you know, last season, we'd have probably not won a game, to be honest, out of these last three. And fair play to the lads, because Vardy's come on with 20 left, kind of galvanised the team again. I thought that was probably a penalty, to be honest, on Vardy. Obviously, we know he knows how to purchase penalties. I thought that was a foul. And yeah, the Italian lads come on. He looked fairly tired. He didn't do a huge amount, but right place, right time. We've been crying out for a 10 this season. Someone in that box just sniffing out the opportunity, and fair play to him because, like I say, I missed the goal. Everyone else is busy appealing, even the players. It looked like the Cardiff players completely stopped and he was the only one who was switched on enough to put it in. And his celebration was incredible. He was absolutely delighted. And he did the bow in front of SK1. Mm. And the last person who did that was Esteban Cambiasso. So hopefully that's a good omen. But 4 from 4, mate. We've not played particularly well. And I think there's more to come. And I'm really excited about the rest of the season.
Mm. Rick, I just saw you sipping there from a tin of Madry. I saw a meme going round on Twitter after the game of Maresca as the Madry man with Maresca. Exceptional. Is that how you're feeling? Or a little bit, maybe a little bit more reserved?
No, I'm happy. 4 wins from 4, as George says. We've never done it, or certainly not for over 100 years. I know only three in the league, but it's quite incredible that, you know, we're one of the most prolific teams for being in the Championship, and yet, or Division One, League, whatever, you know, second division, and yet we've never won the first 3 games in, you know, in our era and going back. So, major start that we've got, not playing particularly well across, you know, the 90 minutes. We're playing well in patches. I hold my hands up. I really thought we'd be a calamity to start with, the opening 5 to 10 games. I thought fitness levels would be suspect. and we're anything but. Fitness levels evidently seem to be on point because we're scoring late goals. We're passing teams to death and then pouncing and you know, and getting winners. So, you know, it's still early days with Maresca. There's a few little things that I'm unsure on with him, and it takes time to work out what, you know, what our manager's doing and what they do. But, you know, you can't follow. He just looks like he knows what he's doing now. And I've got a quiet confidence that we may well do this, do well this season. Just going back to Joe calling Cesar Cassidy, a bit of a EastEnders theme, isn't it, with Barry Evans and Sonia Jackson, Natalie Cassidy. But yeah, he's obviously come straight in. As you know, Maresca's broken English. I read the post-match comments, and it was exactly to the word the same thing that he'd said in the press conference before the game about Cassidy, about he arrives in the box, it's the only way to score.
That's because it was the same interview, Rick.
Well, yeah, but someone quoted it as post.
Yeah, they clipped it post.
Damn.
Minor details, yeah.
That'd be wild.
Well, no, I didn't hear it. I just read it, and I thought, that is literally word for word what he said beforehand. Is he a robot? You know, it's coming back to Claude Puel days with, you know, intensity, quality. But, you know, Cassidy, he will be in the box, and I think he's going to score a lot of goals. We said this about Dewsbury Hall after the Cov game. I think Cassidy will. I mean, his record for Inter Milan's Primavera team was pretty impressive. And then he got the 7 goals, golden boot, best player at the under 20 World Cup. He is going to score a lot of goals for us and create goals. And that, to me, you know, I know I'm not going to ruin who we were perhaps going to have as a guest this week, but you know, that's going to perhaps come back to bite them, because he is a great signing, isn't he?
Well, Rick, don't worry. I was going to not dig him out as such, but yeah. Genuinely, the plan was this evening to have the guys from the second tier pod join us. We had spoken to them, and the plan was Sunday evening to do it, and then they had to change, and they couldn't do this evening either. But look, if you didn't see it, I think most people did, to be honest, but they tweeted after the Cassidy signing, and the little video, put a little clip out on social media, which rattled a few. The quotes were, I'm a bit surprised he's got this move. His loan spell at Reading passed me by. I don't think Leicester really need him. Ryan Dilks wasn't impressed by him at Reading, and Justin Peach says he isn't expecting much. And look, I'm not usually one to reply to things, and I didn't, but I typed one out and then deleted it. Then I thought, actually, what's a better thing here to do is just ask them to come onto the pod. And they were bang up for it. So it's not like
they're going to come back on as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get it done at some point. They're not, yeah, it's a genuine reason they couldn't come on. But Jack, I was bemused by that. I will ask them this question when they come on. I mean, was this genuinely just a clickbait clip? Because, you know, it would take the grand total of 2 seconds to look at the starting lineups for Leicester's 2 home games this season against Cov and Cardiff. And you've got effectively Ndidi and Dewsbury Hall playing as your attacking midfielders. I think have got combined about 3 goals in more than 2 seasons. So you're looking and thinking, right, well, probably do need an attacking midfielder. So I'm a bit bemused how you could say that they don't need him. So not only did we definitely need him, he's also shown, Jack, that already in the short time he's been here, what, half an hour on the pitch, that he absolutely adds something to us.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, speaking as someone that is perma-rattled by everything on Twitter always, it rattled me slightly as well.
Do you think it was clickbait, or do you think... Because look,
their feeds are very good. They get them out there. Whatever they're doing to get their tweets, they're all over all our timelines. So,
because I find, Jack, because we're new to this division, I have a lot of respect for what these guys do, right? Because everyone is so consumed with Premier League football that everyone knows everything about the Premier League to a degree. But to know everything about the Championship teams, to, you know, when it's less, you know, there for everyone to consume on a daily, it does take a lot more research. So I respect the fact that they do it. And also I have to then acknowledge that they do know more than me when it comes to the Championship. So when I do see some of these, the clips they put out, I'm thinking, is this just clickbait? or have I missed something here? And I can't work out if genuinely Cassaday was dreadful at Reading last year, and that's why they said what they did, or if they thought, you know what, we're going to put out a clip here and arguably the biggest fan base or one of the biggest fan bases in the Championship, that'll do numbers for us on social media.
Yeah, I mean, either way, it worked, didn't it? Because if engagement is your goal, then it drives some engagement. And they've sort of got a point with Cassaday, if that's how you pronounce his name, because if you look at his Reading spell, it doesn't look very impressive, but everything else he's done is super impressive. You look at, you know, Inter, it's not long since Chelsea paid big money for a bloke that's not even made a first team appearance. So, I mean, saying Chelsea paid a lot of money for someone doesn't necessarily mean player. But at the same time, you know, everything they said, everything that anyone who's ever watched him, I mean, Tom Colomossi said he reminded him of Dino Baggio, which is, you know, a fair compliment. But he looks the part, doesn't he? I mean, I worried he's, what, 19, 20? I thought, in this league, bit physical, went to Reading, didn't really come off, sort of strutted onto the pitch. He's 6 foot plus, isn't he? Big lad, looks calm on the ball. Just kind of, if you were building a footballer for that position, you'd probably build him with that sort of athleticism and size. And I mean, he didn't really do an awful lot. He looked tidy on the ball. He scored a goal, which, you know, looks great. But he is very, very highly rated. And Maresca clearly loves him. He said as soon as he finally signed him. So someone said that that's been lined up since June, which, you know.
Yeah.
Some things up. obviously was quite keen to get him in. You wonder why it takes so long to get a loan player in. But I think that was one of the things I wanted to talk about, actually. All the signings that Maresca's made have made real sense. You signed a keeper and you go, well, we've got four of them. Why? Evening, Mel. It's just appeared in the background. you sign a keeper, you go, I don't really get why we're signing a keeper. Hermansson, I thought, was good again. Almost comes in as we almost play with a back four and no goalkeeper. It's like we play a rush keeper. I thought, you know, Cody, I was going in a two, that doesn't make sense, but we virtually play a three in the way we play, so it makes a lot of sense. Winks, I thought, was really good again. Just the bit that impresses me most about him, actually, is when he's lost the ball, he hares after it like he's left the tap on upstairs. As Rick said last week. And I thought Mavididi was decent again. The challenge for Mavididi at the moment is everything goes through him. I thought Wanyamasa was all right, but all our stuff's going through Steffi. Brilliant feat at the end when he was carrying it in the corner. That was just in front of us, and it's just unbelievable feat. The boy's got some talent. So all the signings have made a load of sense. And I know we'll get on to talk about his comments today. I mean, just give the man what he needs, because is, you know, he said he was only 10-20% of the way there. Every signing is making a load of sense. It's building on the first team. We haven't improved the first team in a long time. You can see everything is very logical in terms of what he's doing. I just really hope that the club get him the three players he wants over the next few weeks, next 11 days, because everything he's done thus far has been really impressive in terms of personnel. I think Rick's probably got something to say about Winks.
Well, just quickly, what I'd say is there's stuff to talk about the comments made about players potentially not leaving, and then the potential of what Maresca said about the ones that may or may not come in. So I want you to hold thoughts on that. And we'll do that later on post Who Are You and Dear Ric Flair. But, you know, absolutely, Jack and Jordan, in terms of the new signings, great points. They have all made an impact. You know, it's a bit of a strange one because we said similar the back end of January, didn't we, about the three that came in, but they've all now been bombed out in a matter of months. None of them near the first team at all. But Harry Winks, let's give him some airtime. We did speak about this, and I think we all kind of backtracked a little bit. I think we all did. You know, I did initially tweet, and it's still there. I've not deleted it, but I was very critical of the signing. I just didn't think it was the route the football club should be going down. Yeah, I did, and I was wrong. I think that he's already proven that he's levels above this division, and he's exactly the kind of player that we needed. And I also think, bigger picture going forward, he can step up into the Premier League, because that's always my concern as well, that I don't want to do short-term signings. I know that people say you're getting ahead of yourself, but I want to sign someone who can do the job right now, but also has the potential to go on and play in the Premier League. And I thought that maybe Winks couldn't do that. But on the basis of what I've seen, Rick, I think he can absolutely do that. And I think, what, four games in, I'd make a case that he's our most, or if not, one of our most important players.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, what I've said about him to start with,
you went harder. What did you call him? You called him something else.
Gary Winks, I think you called him. Gary Winks, which, just because there's not enough Garys in the world anymore. But I was way off with him. Probably, I said it yesterday on something. I honestly think my opinion of the signing of Winks is a worse take than my 10 out of 10 on Tete, because I do think Tete is a good player.
Can you just slag off all our signings from now on?
Well, yeah, but I'm put on this planet to make people feel better about themselves. Horrendous takes with, you know, just Jack and Ori's coming out of my arsehole. But no, the thing with Winks is, on the face of it, I don't necessarily appreciate midfielders that are neither destroyers nor creative sort of goals, assists, you know, like silky play. So, you know, I was quite lazy in my sort of consideration and opinion of what Winks is going to bring to this team, because I wasn't aware of what Maresca was going to build here. I was thinking, right, we come off the back of a debacle. We've had injury-prone players for too long now. We've paid over the odds for players, wages, all of that. The biggest thing I think I said about Winks was that I wasn't massively, well, not that I questioned his character, but almost like I felt like his career was declining. But the one thing, when you think about it, everyone talks highly of him. So yes, he's had his injury problems that hopefully are behind him, because, you know, we've talked about that enough, about what's going on at our gaff. But I love him. I love what he's doing in this team, because yes, he's not going to score loads of goals. He's not going to assist loads. But the energy he brings, he's the only player in the team at the minute that is playing on the front foot. You know, he gets the ball, he turns, he's not mucking about, he knows what he wants to do. So 100%, I apologise profusely, and I mean this, because, you know, I was rude about him.
And you'd like to get him on the pod at some point, so.
I'd like to go on a week's narrow boating holiday with him, and I'll apologise to him. I'll cook all his meals.
Yeah, anything
else?
He's
a great lad.
Just cook his
whatever
meals.
He wants. Yeah. Whatever he wants. Yeah, there'll be no nothing like that. I'm not not for me that. But he's a nice looking bloke. But
that's not where I was going with it. But sure.
All right. Okay. Good
meals,
looking bloke, ain't he?
You know, but iron his clothes. Meals. That's what I was thinking.
Oh yeah. But no, great start to his career here. Good age. Could step back up into the Premier League. George probably sat there smug, because I think he was very, very complimentary about him from the off. You know, England connection. We'll never have a bad word to say about anyone who's ever played for England, bar maybe Mason Greenwood. But over to you.
Yeah, I mean, so Jordan, would you like to date Harry Winks, or you'd like to keep it just to a narrow boat as well as Rick?
Well, you know my plan for the narrow boat, so if we win the league, hopefully us four and Winksy can be on HMS Hits the League next year.
I wonder if
but we, before we go I to a break, because I know that. We have to do that.
No.
We could.
So, yeah, that's actually a brilliant idea. When we do this live on the pod, if we win the league, is there anyone out there that can get us a boat? We can get. I mean, I was on the boat on the Norfolk Broads last week. I'm a highly experienced driver. I only crashed twice. You know, and they're very
has to be on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can get someone if he someone just looks like Harry Winks, a boat. You know,
even if it's a dinghy.
If you have a boat and you're listening to this podcast, can we borrow it if we win the league? And if you know Harry Winks, ask him if he'd like to come on our boat. Sorry, George, back to you.
What could go wrong? I was getting a bit of stick in one of the WhatsApp groups that me and Jake are in, because I did say when we were
meeting. I forgot about this.
But I never got a chance to follow it up because I said, well, it depends how much he costs. Because I thought they'd be wanting 30 million for him because he's that kind of player.
For context, so I'll hands up, it was me who criticised Harry Winks in the group, right? And then Jordan, the little love emoji in terms of like agreeing with it. He didn't say anything. You put the emoji on my comment. So then when you said that you hadn't said anything negative, you know how these things are. Someone then dug up the fact that you had effectively agreed with my comment. Right. But that was it. You hadn't actually said anything bad about the signing, had you? In your defense.
So when I realized it was 10 million, I thought, absolutely get him in. And I said before the season on here, 10 England caps, played in the Champions League final. Spurs fans go on about when he gave Real Madrid the runaround, I think, in the Bernabeu at one point. But one thing I love about Winks, I know Rick, like you said, he's not a huge fan of Winks style player, but Maresca has built the whole team around him pretty much. This system we're playing on paper is a four at the back. It isn't. It's the goalkeeper is the centre back, two centre backs. I mean, Doyle was on the edge of their box most of the time last week. He's got Pereira alongside him. It's a pretty dynamic two in there. But the one thing I love about Winks, he's 27 or 28. He went over to Samp. Yes, it didn't work out. They got relegated, but he's got experience of playing in a different league. He's had his injury problems and he clearly wants to be here because I think Prem teams were linked with him and he looked at Leicester and thought, that's the place where I can rebuild my career. And I think with Winks and us, we both are in need of a rebuild. And I do think it's just like a match made in heaven. And the one thing I love the most about him is that, like I say, his age, a lot of players that age love to be seen on Instagram, love to be seen out and about when they shouldn't be, wearing ridiculous clothing that costs the earth. Do you ever see Harry Winks in the press or on social media? He just keeps his head down. He gets on with it. He's clearly got good people around him that are advising him. And I mean, I know you can't really do it. Cody's going to be the captain. He is an absolute shoo-in for me for a vice captain or a captain. He's exactly what we should, you know, exactly the kind of player that should be a captain. And the good thing is we've got Cody to come back. Another player is very similar to Winks in terms of his experience. So Jack's giving me stick in the comments here, but
it's like when you talk about people wearing expensive clothing on Instagram.
I didn't post that. Anyway, but yeah, I think he's just been a revelation. And my only concern is what Maresca said, which I'm sure I'm going to come on to, but he said he's happy with Choudhury and Ndidi if Winks were to get injured, which scares the life out of me. Because
Sammy Braybrook.
Completely
once Braybrook's
players.
Back, he's Winks, he's understudy, trust me.
Yeah, yeah. Right then, we need to take a quick commercial break.
Bye!
Beautifully done. Right, other things to talk about and other people we want to give a little bit of love to on the podcast. Young Callum Doyle. So who wants to take this one and what would you like to say about Callum?
I'll take it first. I thought he was superb on Saturday. And I think he was our man of the match. He almost scored twice, I think. He was spraying balls left, right and centre. I thought he was okay against Coventry and I thought he was all right against Huddersfield. But, I mean, he's another player that's completely central to our system. But I thought he just had a really impressive game. Him and Mavadidi seem to have got a little bit more understanding now. But again, it's just another signing that makes a lot of sense in the system that he wants to play. You know, he's a centre-back, but he's playing him at left-back or a left-sided centre-back. It's all hybrid positions now, which I don't really understand, if I'm honest. But I'm getting my head around it. But I just thought he was brilliant. And, I mean, he's still, what, 19? It's a shame we've not got an option on him. Although I guess if we do go up, we'll probably have a chance to get him because I don't think he'll be getting anywhere near the Man City team soon. But yeah, he looks superb. Really impressive. Really good signing. A lot of time for him. I think he's only going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, it's always but you'd imagine it's the case. I think, you know, if cast my mind back to when we had Nigel Pearce, we signed lots of players, didn't we, from Man United, the reserve team, you know, your Michael Keane's. I mean, even the likes of Richie Wellens had come through the system there. And it felt that, like, you'd go to Man United because, you know, they'd had a great football education. And then, you know, and then they've got an opportunity to play. And it feels right now, Jordan, that if you want to go find someone who you know can play football and has had a great football education, who's probably available because they're not going to get into the first team, you go to Man City. And yeah, I think that Jack's right, Kendall. He looks like a really, really solid player, but one I don't see ever getting into that Man City team. So it's almost the perfect place for him to develop. And, you know, if we get promoted, 10 million quid, 12 million quid, he could be ours. And I think he could be a player for, what, 5, 6, 7 years for it, potentially.
I think so. And a lot of these signings these days seem to be a loan with a view to a permanent deal, for whatever reason that is. The thing is with Doyle, which I find odd. I mean, I always thought he was a centre-half, but he's playing left-back.
And I still think he is, though, mate. If I'm looking at him, I do think that still centre-half is his natural position.
Well, that's what I was about to say, but it surprised me on Saturday. So the first few games of the season, it seemed to me that Ricardo was basically playing in the middle of midfield.
Yeah.
And then you had that back three. But on Saturday, Doyle was so far advanced in what you kind of describe as a proper fullback position. And effectively, again, I think we were pretty much against Kov, to be honest, was 2-on-2 at the back with Fez and Vestergaard. Now, Fez was a bit sloppy in the second half, but he looks like he's barely out of second gear in this league. Shame it can't be said for the other centre-half. And me and Rick were a big advocate of Doyle in the centre and bringing Justin in. And I do think Justin could do that role.
Yeah,
but that said, on Saturday, Doyle was so far advanced, he got a couple of shots off, I think, on the edge of their box. And he looks like a proper ball-playing, what would be a ball-playing centre-half. And it gives you a bit of balance as well with his left foot. So I'd like to see him in that position. And like you say, Jake, if we get promoted, I'm exactly the same as you. These new signings we've got, I'm not looking at them for this season. I'm thinking, right, get straight back up. And can we build in the Premier League? And he's definitely one that you'd want to keep if we were to get promoted. And like you say, I don't think he's gonna break into the Man City team. I mean, I think Rico Lewis can play there for them.
Yeah, well, you just got to look. I mean, you've got Taylor Harwood-Bellis. He can't get in. Yeah. You've had, what, Adozie, Bazunu, Lavia, all these players who are clearly really, really good Premier League players, and they can't get anywhere near that team. So, you know, if Taylor Harwood-Bellis is captaining Burnley for promotion last year and he's available for transfer, I can't see Callum ever breaking in. And, you know, there's no shame in that. There's absolutely not. This isn't necessarily an opportunity to criticise Yannick Vestergaard, because I don't think he's been particularly bad, but I do think he is probably the worst within that back line. And Rick, I am still a little bit perplexed by the fact that, because you mentioned James Justin there, he's there sat on the bench, mate, and he's barely played or kicked a ball at all, and you can include pre-season in that as well. There doesn't appear to be many links and rumours about him leaving the club, you know, because he's touched on others, hasn't he, in terms of Christiansen and Thomas, about their ability to maybe whether they fit in that system or not. James Justin's not been mentioned. This is a guy who had broken into the England squad. He's on a huge contract, was rated very highly at the club. He can play left and right back. He can play as part of a three. I'd imagine, I would have thought that he would fit into Enzo's ideology of how he'd want to play football. And I find it very bizarre that at the moment that Doyle appears to be playing out of position so Vestergaard can play centre-half at the expense of James Justin on the bench. I do find that a little bit odd.
I totally agree. I mean, you can only presume he is in Maresca's plans. Maresca has realised that Justin's had a couple of bad injuries. He doesn't want to, you know, throw him straight in yet, and he's going to start to use him more and more as the season goes on. That said, Ricardo's had more injuries than him, and Ricardo has been played 90 minutes, and looks fine at it. Although Matty James doesn't get injured in the Championship and was made of glass, wasn't he, in the Premier League. So hopefully a step down in class allows their body to recover, and maybe Ricardo playing inverted fullback You know, it's less burden on his body as perhaps playing fullback. But going back to Justin, yeah, why is he not in? You know, he himself says his favoured position is left back. We know he's played the third, you know, in a centre half role in a back three. On paper, stroke evidence, he would be one of the best fullbacks at this level, if not the best, aside from Ricardo. He said he wants to stay with us. You know, he was. I know he was injured, but he was there during pre-season. Maresca's first day, he met Justin there and they embraced. Justin's really gone for it. So, you know, he's not wanting it out. Maybe he realises, you know, read the room with his injuries and stuff. There's a chance he might not be going. But he seems being really positive about this whole new era and he wants to be part of it. And he's barely played. He's played against Burton. And I'm sure he'll play against Tranmere. But, yeah, I mean, Vestergaard's the anti-everything that we talk about and everything that... that Maresca's seemingly doing with players that don't want to be at this club. You know, they're not even on the bench. The one that has gone on record as a Danish interview, and, you know, I know we've got our own views on why that might be, why that interview may be released, but he said he didn't want to be here, and yet he's being picked over and above Justin and Shuffle Doyle inside, or the other geezer who's vanished off the face of the earth, who's got pedigree at this level, who's better in the air than him, who I absolutely love and Jack does as well, Harry Suter. It's like, it just don't make sense. You know, I get marginalising players to try and get them out the door to make a point whilst the window's open, and I respect Maresca for doing that. But the one elephant in the room, and excuse the pun there with being an elephant, is Yannick Vestergaard.
Yeah. Rick,
that said, he didn't have a bad game on Saturday, other than getting exposed a couple of times.
But what I will say, right, in terms of him wanting to be at the club, right, now, again, he hasn't done another interview post this, but one thing, I saw other people mention it, and I noticed it as well, with the goal, is you watched Yannick celebrate, and he did really celebrate. Maybe, just maybe, he now does want to be at the football club. And look, previously, under the old regime of Brendan, there was clearly a breakdown in that relationship. You can understand why he didn't want to be there. He was bombed out.
Yeah, of course.
Whether that was his own fault or not. But Rick, maybe he does want to be here now. I mean, would that change anything for you? Or you just still don't think on a footballing level he's good enough?
I'll let Jack come in a sec. But no, of course, I'm never against players getting another chance if that's what happens. And you're right, he did. He celebrated the goal, and If that's what happens, I'll support him. I still worry about the high line we play, the lack of pace. I mean, Matey or whatever his name is, who should have fired them 2-1 up. You know, how many times in the three league games has that now happened where they've been exposed? Now, it's not all Vestergaard's fault, you know, collectively as a defence, but he is the one that is the slowest of them all. Is Cody much quicker? Marginally. Suter, marginally. So Doyle, yes. So that, you know, it all comes round to, and yeah, I think Maresca wants another centre-half. So it hopefully will all become clearer in the coming weeks. But no, at this level, he can play and he can pick a pass. He's still crap in the air for 6'6". I honestly think that I would beat him in the air. I reckon I could rise up.
I'd like to watch that.
And nod one. I reckon, in fact, I'm more than that. Again, winks on the narrowboat and I'll do a heading comp with Vestergaard, because I was mascot years ago. Against West Brom in the Anglo-Italian Cup, and Alan McDonald, the ex-assistant manager, told me that I had a decent head on me. So,
what name would you go with? And when you obviously got a shout for your, you know, Rick's ball, do you go with your name? which alias do you go with? Just confuse them. Just keep throwing out names.
Yeah, I just bamboozle them. Yeah. I just shout Anna Way Barwell.
Jack, on Yannick, mate.
I wasn't going to say something about Yannick specifically, but I was going to say something about the celebration, because it was one of the best collective team celebrations I've seen in ages. And I think partly because there's no VAR, so they know as soon as like it's gone in,
it's a thing.
You can absolutely go for it. You don't have to hold back, which I think is brilliant. I also just think Cassidy celebrated like he'd scored in the World Cup semi-final or something, which I just thought was brilliant. And then I missed it, but Fez whacked him in the head after he did a bow. Yeah. Which is also a very Italian thing. They all do that in Italy, don't they? They just sort of like bash each other in the head when they score. It's but it just that. I mean, I'm just loving no VAR because same. It just. There's been some decisions go against us, and it's fine. You just, I'd rather it be a goal, and you know it's a goal, and you can actually celebrate it because that's what. Going to the football's about. I mean, I watched the Premier League back now, and it's just so frustrating. You know, is it a penalty? They're almost they just check for everything now, and it ruins it as a spectacle. So
and still get it wrong.
Yeah, and they still get it wrong anyway. So, but actually, to go back to the original point, there does seem to be a bit of togetherness about it. Yannick was clearly very up for it, but they were all up for it. And I mean, there's nothing better than scoring a winner in the last minute, is there? I mean. Yeah. We've been lucky this year. We've scored quite a few late goals, but that was particularly satisfying.
Okay, that was the latest. That was a proper last minute winning, 92nd minute.
Yeah,
neither of you hadn't left, had you? Anyone?
No, I was there.
No. Good lads. All right, we'll talk about then some transfers in and out a little bit later on. But let's do some fun, whether it be Dierick Flair or who are you? Which one do you want to do first, guys? Go on, up to you. Make a decision. Someone.
Should we do a break then, Dierick?
Well, of course he can. Let's take a break.
Bye.
Right. So, which one are we doing? Sorry.
Did I say Dierick?
Yeah. Okay. Right. Sweet. Let's do Dierick Flair.
Piss off. I need somebody else, not just
anybody else. You know, I need someone. Ric Flair.
Right then, so Dierick Flair and Jack, am I right in saying it's a little bit different this week? So on last week's pod, I enjoyed this. We spoke about Rick getting chucked out for singing Leicester songs. We put this on social media and lots of people shared similar stories.
Yeah, exactly that. So, excuse me, rather than asking Rick direct questions, what I thought I would do is read back these stories to Rick and he can do a Ric Flair rating, a bit like his transfer ratings that he used to be. Well, you could add any builds to the to the songs, because I know you like, you know, penning your own songs or poems, but we've got quite a few. I mean, we're not going to be able to go through all of them. There are some absolute belters, but yeah, I've got about six or seven which I will try and run us through, Rick, and you can give us some feedback. So the first one is from friend of the show, Joe Swanson, as you call him.
Well, not the Swanick.
The Swanick. I think it's about Swanick. I don't think it was submitted by Swanick.
Oh, yes. But
he would. I bet he ain't got a phone, has he?
No, he does. Rick, this is a true story, right? So we're in, I'm in a WhatsApp group with Swanick, along with Jordan. And he never replies. He's one of them. That even if you ask him a question, he doesn't. And there was once I had to call him out.
He reads everything, but never replies.
Never replies. It's like what he's like in... it's basically him in real life.
I've only met him like 20 times and he blanked me.
Yeah, so it's him in real life until he's had 20 beers, basically.
But anyway, if you don't know, it's probably really boring. But anyway, George, you were there for this story. Joe got kicked out of a Madrid hostel singing about Ian Marshall's socks.
Right. Yeah, I can't remember. I think Real Madrid were playing and we were in a hostel watching it. I think it was the day before we played Atletico, and he was in great form. He was absolutely steaming. He was singing that Ian Marshall scored a fucking wonder goal with his socks down low for ages. Eventually, he got thrown out, but as he was getting thrown out, he tripped and fell over in the doorway. And at that point, the owner of the hostel said, "Right, that's it. You're out of here, mate." And you had a wristband to sort of like get through the
all
door.
Inclusive.
Far from
all inclusive.
Not sure.
And then the guy like grabbed his wrist and had a pair of scissors and were trying to cut his wristband off. But we managed to get him outside and he lived to fight another day. But it was one of his finest moments.
The man, the myth.
There you go.
I mean, right. I've had a couple of encounters with Swanson. Both of them, I love the man. I played cat shit with him, which he didn't really get. But, you know, you could have played any game with him. He's the sort of bloke that you could play Sabutio with, Scrabble, or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the real edition where he could win all that money. Same, don't really give a shit. So, I mean, out of 10, that's a solid 8.5, isn't it? Mm. Which I think Joe won't care about. But yeah, 8.5.
Okay, good.
Jack, a real quick detour away from this. We'll go back to it. Seeing as we're mentioning Swanick, he's getting some good airtime here. You were with him at the weekend, weren't you, for sixes?
Yes, I was.
We were kindly invited to go down and play sixes before the game at the weekend. Was that good? And was Swanick as good as I'd expect him to be?
He was interesting technique. Appalling.
Yeah,
he was dreadful.
It's a loaded question. I know he's bad.
He did admit afterwards that he hadn't played cricket before, and it did show. But but in the most amusing news, guess who came last?
Was it you giving it biglets beforehand?
No, did not come last. Who always loses every game he enters?
Well, I'll clarify this. I scored 12 for naught off six overs, right? Yeah.
Solid. A few maidens in there. A few dot balls.
They had to take the left-hander off, mate, so I was knocking him for four. They put the right-hander back on.
Yeah.
Look, I was on world class. Swanick was on beginner, right?
And all it is I'm hard. I couldn't do world class. It would just be hitting me or missing me.
2 weeks ago, Jack's moaning about players giving their wicket away in the Ashes. That wouldn't happen to me.
Young Jeffrey Boycott, were you just defending?
Speaking of young Jeffrey Boycott, Jordan got beaten by his dad. So
yes.
Look, the game's changed. I'm a test match player. You can't go in sixes and leave it outside a length, can you?
Mate,
give me a new cherry and then it's a different game. Do you know what I mean? I'll clean up with a new ball.
But we'd recommend going to six.
Highly recommend it. A lot of fun.
I want to come next time.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. I need to as well. I missed it as well. But back to our songs.
Yeah, good food. Highly recommend. Right, the next one is from Anonal Mus. I can't quite pronounce that, but it might become more familiar to you as we go through. It says, next week, lads, be sure to ask Rick or Bean, so he obviously knows you well, why he neglected to mention the time he was escorted from a classy London establishment that I thought might be physically impossible to get ejected from for singing Old Fellner Cart while stood on the bar.
do you know who this is?
Yeah, that's his burner account on Twitter, that is. I won't reveal who it is, but that was QPR away, Vardy 1-0, the year we won the league. And we were in a tiny little pub in Shoreditch.
Was that not his first goal?
Not his first goal, but was the day when Nugent chased a squirrel around the pitch.
Yeah, he scored. Yeah. He scored 8 or 9 that season at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. He
apologies.
Second season.
I think it was that run of games when Vardy started scoring goals that were winning us a lot of games. But I mean, yeah, that was. I'm sure people know by now. I'm very loud, and I was very loud that day. We got escorted out. We were staying in a hostel called The Clink in King's Cross, which is a bit odd because I was living in London at the time, and why I stayed in a hostel with them is beyond me. But anyway, and there was a Brazilian geezer there in his pants who was trying to offer us an envelope of narcotics by the end of the night. But, you know, obviously we were more bothered about not selling knock art. So, yeah, that was – I can't rate myself for my behaviour there, but my pals were on point. That was a 9 out of 10.
Very good. The next one, this is for, I need to pronounce his name right, because I got told off for not pronouncing his name right on Saturday. Chowsey. Is this correct, Jordan? Right.
Yeah. It's your posh accent. It's okay. Chowsey. I think Jake started that, actually.
Chowsey. Yeah. Right. But anyway. I did get it. I did used to get it wrong also.
Well, that's fine. Few of us were asked to leave the old Taj Mahal on Highfield Street after singing "He's Sexy, He's Mental, He's Gary Taylor Fletcher" after we beat QPR at the end of the 13-14 championship winning season. In our heads, it was 11 p.m, but we forgot it was an early kickoff and it was only 7 p.m.
Good work.
I don't know how that song goes.
No, but I like that. I like Gary Taylor Fletcher as a bloke.
Well, we've spoken about getting him on the pod. I have the bloke's number, and I'm sure he will. But But every massively time we talk about it,
A massive respect to bloke who looks fatter with a shirt on than off. Because I've seen him with his shirt off, and he's actually a decent nick. Yeah. He's always one of those that was unfairly criticised for being a big lad, but no, proper footballer. And he did he score? Well, there was two games he got an important goal for us, didn't he? Was it Bolton? And was it Huddersfield away, I think?
He scored at Millwall away at about Christmas time.
Yeah, definitely Huddersfield away as well in that grey sort of camouflage kit.
He scored at Huddersfield because I thought it was the right back who wasn't even playing.
So that kind of Kenny Sampson. Yeah. Kenny Sampson played right back.
Yeah.
Was it Richie Delatt?
I think I thought it was Delatt and it was Gary Taylor Fletcher, who don't look anything alike. Close, and one of them wasn't playing.
He's both sexy and mental.
Yeah.
But yeah, get him on the pod, Jake. But right, that's a good song. I'm going to give that an 8.2.
8.2, okay.
I've got a bit Dave Portnoy in his One Bite Pizza, Everyone Knows the Rules. Don't know if anyone's ever watched those videos.
I have, mate.
Barstool Sports Geezer, yeah.
Right. Okay, we'll probably do this one as the last one because this feature is taking longer than I thought. This one's from Money Mabry and it says, Tipo got launched out of a Birmingham Spoons before Baggies Away after singing the Momo Silla song, which went Momo. I'm not going to sing it. It's the Two Unlimited. Momo.
That one.
Apparently he got choke slammed, I heard as well, out of the pub. So
Mabry's a big boy.
No, it wasn't him.
No, it was his mate.
I was going to say, I take a big guy to chokeslam mate.
And then didn't see the game because he was in custody or something. This one went very
dark.
It went very dark very quick.
You know, as a man who's not had a fight since top infants at school, anyone who's scrapping, a lot of respect for fighting for the team. They're not ready. 10 out of 10. It's the tete of...
You've gone early with a 10 out of 10. We want to try and string this feature out for quite a long time.
Oh,
so,
all right.
Right, yeah.
No, there'll always be a 10 every week. Okay?
Right, okay. Very good.
Right. Okay. So, is there any other Dear Rick Flairs we leave it there for this week?
No, we'll leave it there. But what I would love it is if people... Because I think it would be so much better that, rather than me telling the stories, if people send voice notes in, which you can do on Twitter. So... voice notes, videos, anything you've got, if you can do that, we will play that on the pod, which I think will add so much to the feature, because then I'll pronounce the names correct. Well, you'll pronounce the names correctly because they'll be your names rather than me mispronouncing them. So, yeah.
We'll play. Can I add an agenda point as well for it?
Yes.
So I would like, and I think this will bang, I want injuries whilst following Leicester.
Okay. Yeah.
Because have I ever told anyone the story about my injury after Wolves when Knockhart scored the winner?
No.
About the escalator at Oxford Circus Tube?
No.
Okay, do you want me to tell it now or should we save it for another day?
No, I think you've got to now, but I'm painting a picture of what could possibly go wrong with an escalator, you and alcohol.
So most people, you know, they have a bucket list, don't they, whether they want to go to Disneyland or... you know, go and climb Machu Picchu. I've always wanted to slide down the middle of an escalator on the tube, right?
Obviously.
But it's insane to do it, isn't it? You don't do it because of them metal boxes and all the bollards.
Yeah.
Well, we beat Wolves and it weren't even an important game. It was the year that we blew it top two and ended up playoffs on the last game of the season. But anyway, we won 2-1. Absolutely garried out my face. Me and my mate, and we were at the got to the tube at Oxford Circus, and he said he sort of was going down the escalator, and then he just saw me whiz past down the middle, and I'd done really well. I was dodging. It was like Mario Kart. I'd managed to dodge all the sort of boxes, but then right at the bottom, you've got like this big one. And I just pinched a bit off the side, whack, and the noise was like throwing a brick in a cow pat. It was like, and honestly, Honestly, hell on earth.
So shatter my coccyx.
Shatter my coccyx, my tailbone. Had to basically had to sit on a like a wedged cushion for 6 months to a year, and even now on a cold day, my bottom hurts like because it aches.
I've got so many questions,
and you want to ask me why for about that night when I got home. And
can I ask you about the wedge cushion?
Occupational health at work had to order it in for me. Take it everywhere with me. Literally, like going swimming, do you know, when you've got your towel under you. Awful.
It sounds awful, despite obviously all the laughs. I mean, I'd imagine though hitting the last one's better than hitting one up higher. Well, so technically, it could have been worse.
I would have really torpedoed down there, wouldn't I? Yeah. Such a shame.
How did you then get out of the tube? Because now you're at the bottom and you've just broke, you know, a very critical bone. Yeah. That
my mate
to help you stand up.
My mate who was like just
was it
beside himself. Not that night. So my mate took like he picked me up and put me on the tube, and we went our separate ways. I went home. I got back home to Wimbledon and sort of like scampered up, like gingerly got home into bed. And this is where I sort of tapped up on my wife's shoulder and I said, "Oh no, there's been an incident." And she says, "What have you done? Who have you slept with?" And I was like, "Hey, no, I'm not." I said, but I did get my cheeks out, and there was this horrendous black bruise. And she was like, "What have you done?" And yeah, I did go A&E the next day, which was I had to try and explain what I'd done. I was a bit economical with the truth and said I just tripped and fell down the escalator, as opposed to deliberately trying to do the chicane run down there. But yeah, don't recommend it. Well, I do recommend it because it was a good buzz, but try and do better than me.
Yeah, I mean, now all this time on it, are there any regrets? You see, you've got lasting damage here. Was it worth it, Rick?
100%. It was a tick on the bucket list, but you know, not every experience you want to do goes the way you want it to do. So, but yeah,
yeah. But disclaimer: please do this at your own risk. Okay, yeah.
Do it on a simulator instead. You know, you can go on one of them flight simulators. Absolutely.
We don't want hordes of Leicester fans now doing this because they've heard Rick doing it and it coming back on us. All right. Do it at your own risk. Rick is a highly experienced stuntman. So
everyone send voice notes to Jack on injuries following Leicester.
Perfect.
And we'll
Top
review
that
them next week.
Because that's a 10 out of 10, without a doubt.
That's 11 out of 10.
Let's have a quick game of who are you before we have a quick chat about football before we finish up this evening. I'm enjoying this podcast today.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Right then. So, who are you? I'm trying to think. Well, I played it last week. I was going to say, who won it last week? It was Jack, wasn't it? With Simon Royce. Is that right?
Yeah, Royce.
So, Jack is Quizmaster, which means that Rick is more than likely going to win today. And me and Jordan battling it out for second, effectively. Okay, Jack, take over, mate.
Okay. Because I knew Rick was playing, I tried to balance it out because I was going to go for sort of a late 90s player, and I thought that just plays to his strengths.
It's
more
his bread and butter, mate.
Yeah, I've gone for a little bit of a later era.
Okay, I'm due a win.
Well, Jordan is very much
I'm
due,
very
a win.
Much due a win.
No, he's
due
not.
Yeah,
he's never won since I've been on.
No, he has won January. Once. He has won once.
Yeah, but not since I've been on.
No.
Do you remember Jordan, the player who you got right?
I really can't remember.
Right, I feel like you should.
Jordan, it'd be Jordan someone.
Yeah.
Jordan Stewart.
Yeah. Right, go on then, Jack.
I was born on the 23rd of November, 1982.
Okay. Is that 39?
40.
No, that's... 40. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
40 years old. Born in Liverpool, began my career... Who, sorry?
Jack Hobbs.
No, well, he born in Lincoln.
It was his birthday, I think, yesterday.
Is it? Or, I saw him. I stood behind him at the queue to Edgbaston.
I don't know why it's Jack. I knew that. But anyway, carry on.
Born
in Liverpool.
Born in Liverpool. Started my career at Blackburn Rovers, where I made 3 appearances, scoring no goals.
Blackburn, 40. From Liverpool. It's not Paul Gallagher?
No.
Ben Marshall.
Good shout, though. He did start his career at Blackburn. Mm. Well, you said Ben Marshall.
Played more than 3, didn't he? Did we get Ben Marshall from Blackburn, or did we sell him?
No, Stoke, wasn't it?
Stoke, correct. Got from Stoke. Started at Man U, though, didn't he? Sheffield Wednesday on loan.
He ended up playing for everyone, didn't he, in the end?
Yeah. Yeah. Millwall, Norwich.
Yeah. Right, next clue. Currently, assistant manager at Tranmere Rovers.
Jay Spearin. No.
Incorrect.
Ooh. Good guess.
Oh, who's manager of Tranmere at the moment? Because that's going to help me. But I don't know who the manager is. I think I'm going to get this on the next one, or someone is.
Right.
I think we're dangerously close.
This is going to give it a little bit away. So this is giving a little bit more away. Played 25 games.
I want this.
What was that? For Guyana, scoring 11 goals.
Guyana.
The bloody hell are they?
Why do we not know this?
What is this? So he's born in Liverpool. Not Kelvin Atuhu.
Nope.
He's probably a striker then. From Liverpool, coming through at Blackburn.
I'll give you the next clue. Played for Leicester between the years 2011 to 2014.
I'm rubbish with years.
30 games, 5 goals.
Fucking hell.
We should have got this, shouldn't we?
It would be obvious when I say it, but I don't think it's that obvious when you look at his career.
2011. So that's, hang on. Is that Sven or is it Pearson's second?
I'm out of form at the moment.
Ooh, you devil.
My brain hurts thinking about this. I've got nothing happening right now in my head.
This is a good one, Jack. I like this.
Look how smug he looks.
This is my favourite thing.
Hang on.
No, I'm going now.
Hang on. What was the date of birth again?
He's 40.
40. He's 40.
He's 40.
Guyana.
So he was 28 when we signed him.
30 games, 3 goals.
28 when we signed him.
Probably a striker. Well, certainly a forward.
Ooh. Next clue, I think.
Right. From Blackburn.
Ildans.
Jakey.
Yes.
Good shout.
I wanted that so bad today.
What gave it away? Because I didn't give the last clue away.
I then realised it probably isn't a striker in the Sven era. And I know he's from Liverpool.
It's Blackburn. I remember he did play for... Yeah.
He's about... Yeah. And if Tranmere... Yeah. It all just slowly pieced together.
Very, very good. There are a couple of clues that I wasn't going to give. One, that he founded an app called Spitter.
I would have got that.
I knew you would have got that. And the other, his dad was like a skateboarding champion.
All right. Well, I would have. Tony I didn't Hulk. Know either of those. Yeah.
No. Where's the bit about? Yeah.
He made his debut in the UEFA Cup.
What, for Blackburn?
Yeah. Against CSK Sofia.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I have got a bit of a weakness, haven't I?
I think we found it.
Yeah, it might have been my heavy drinking years, although that's been since I was about 7, so that
It's a black spot. It's for about 15 years.
That era where he broke his coccyx, just
home. Yeah, that was it. That was the year after. So yeah,
Be the reason why. Okay, brilliant stuff. I've taken the win. Happy with that. That well sets done, me up for the rest of the week now.
Well done, Jake.
Thank you, mate. Well done, Jake. Thank you.
Well done, Jack, as well. It was a good one.
Yeah, it was good. Good clues.
Yes.
Very good.
Obviously, I had no idea. But...
Did you actually speak?
Yeah, he had. Who were you? You actually then. Had some decent guesses.
More wrong
actually.
Guesses than you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, but he's about 20 up on everyone, so he's probably all right. Let's then finish up for 10 minutes, having a quick chat about some transfers. I'm going to read a quote from Enzo Maresca today, which has done the rounds, and it would suggest not hugely happy with where we're at, with what, 11 days to go into the close of the transfer window. So the quote is, "A big mistake if the club think everything is fine just because we've won 4 from 4. Three signings apparently is what he wants, but players need to leave. And Enzo says, Wanya is helping us out, but we can't continue with him all season. We need more players there. Rick, on the signings, it does indicate, I mean, we know this already, but quite often is the case, the manager can be pretty cagey and not say huge amounts when he's asked directly. But he's made it pretty clear there, isn't he, that he wants players and he needs also some of those players to leave. Fairly certain. And if he doesn't, I get the impression he's going to be pretty pissed off.
Absolutely. A bit confusing because in his press conference on Friday, he said no more players will come in until we get rid of players. But then what's just been released today from Jordan Blackwell is he wants 3 signings minimum. And then if players leave, he wants more. So don't really know what's going on there. But, you know, I think without beggars can't be choosers, we at least need one winger, possibly another centre-half. And I think we need another winger or versatile player that can play up front. And then we need a load to leave. So, yeah, it's hard to trust what's going on Twitter. But in the Turkish press, Yunus Akgun or however you pronounce it, seems to keep being like we've agreed, which has happened on and off the last few days. You know, don't want to say too much. But what was that?
That was me pressing a video by accident when I was leaving Jordan Blackwell's Twitter account. So apologies for that.
I didn't know if it was some theme tune to me giving him the kiss of death. But
That'll
all
come.
All I know about him is nice side parting from his Google images. No, he had a good loan spell in 21-22.
Can you just leave Demis it at Spore, describing his hair and don't do anything else?
That'll do. And I hope that his celebration is of a machine gun with a name like that. But yeah, I'll let anyone else give some feedback on it. But yeah, we need him in if he's coming in, and we need another winger as well. I don't care about anything else. And get a load of them gone because it's a ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I think another quote or rumours or just noise from the club is that potentially, I think it was Tom Colomossi, actually, was it not, who tweeted that players unlikely to leave because the club want to do permanent deals as opposed to loan deals, which I think frustrates people because, you know, if the people don't want to be at the football club, is it not easy just to get them out for 12 months, even if the other club isn't paying their full wages? Surely that's better than nothing. But apparently the club are holding out for permanent deals, which now looks unlikely. Jordan, what do you make of then the final 11 days? Yeah, in terms of those ins and outs, what do you want to see happen? What do you think will happen?
What I think will happen is we'll end up getting rid of the players that don't want to be here and not have enough time to bring players in and end up being completely threadbare. But whether that's better than having people around the place that don't want to be there is, you know, is interesting. I mean, like we spoke about Vestergaard, I just wonder if it's part of his master plan that he wants another centre half. Although it seems to be that Suter's the one that's probably going to go. I mean, the lad, is it Yunus Akgun, Rick? Is that how you say it? I'm still worried about Turkish wingers after Cengiz Under, to be honest, who was very hit and miss, more missed than anything. But looking
and
at
Gazal, obviously went there, didn't he? Obviously, he's not Turkish, but he had a blinding loan spell and they made it permanent. So, yeah, it's a level that
you look at him on paper, and again, he seems to me like the kind of player that we should be signing. He's only 23. It looks like his career's stalled a bit at Gala, but he has played in the Champions League and he's scored and he's got 5 games at international level for Turkey. So it seems to be a kind of player, that, again, where there is obviously a bit of talent there.
Yeah.
And whether we're the place to nurture it remains to be seen. We've been cursed since Riyadh. Rick wants me to pronounce Galatasaray again.
There we go. Love it, mate.
I think Jake might have missed that one. But the Enzo thing really interests me because you know what I'm going to say, but Brendan was saying this exact thing for years and years. Well, 18 months. And in the end, the place became toxic because of what he was saying. And it's fine for the manager to come in and say it now because he's won 4 out of 4 and he's still new and he wants to get what, you know, he wants to get his way. And he's seeing how things are being run behind the scenes, which, you know, we have not been happy for a while. But I think Rick said the same last week. When you've got to integrate players that are not playing, things start to potentially, you know, we start to lose games and things can tumble very quickly. So it's a risky strategy from the manager to say things like that. But hopefully he does get what he wants. And yeah, we definitely need the right winger in. He looks like he wants a centre-half. I still think we need possibly another striker. And I think he said 3 minimum.
Yeah.
So I think they're the 3 areas that we need. And obviously we need to shift the players that don't want to be here, plus Vestergaard for me.
Rick, just quickly jump in on that.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond about Brendan. saw on Twitter. Are you seeing how wild the Celtic lot are going?
Not happy.
But the
I can't believe you went back Rick, there.
No, got knocked out by Kilmarnock, didn't they, in the cup?
Just wanted to quickly mention, because it about fell off my chair. He says they haven't got enough match winners and they need to bring in some more quality. Well, haven't they just won everything under Postecoglou, like every season, and have scored loads of goals? Now, I know they did that under Rodgers as well, but then players left. None of them are left.
Yota was probably their best player, or one of.
Yeah. No, he wasn't their best player.
okay.
But even so, they've not lost all their match winners because he's gone to Saudi Arabia. So it's horse muck, Brendan. Come on. Anyway.
I did see one tweet saying that the 2 centre-halves were just passing it between themselves the whole game. And I thought, bloody hell, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Another one said, we've got 3rd season Brendan, not 1st season Brendan.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That one. Yeah. Right. Jack, on the signings then, mate, what do you think? I mean, is Enzo right to be saying that publicly?
Oh, yeah, I think he is.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a gamble. He's taken quite a strong position, hasn't he? Because he's not...
Exactly. Early on.
It's really obvious the players that he doesn't want to be there because they're not even making the bench, are they? And that might be their reasons as well as his reasons. But, you know, from the point of view... I was saying this about Southampton, actually. Everyone's going, oh, Southampton have made loads of money. But, yeah, they've made all their money with 11 days to go in the transfer window. At least what we did was make the bulk of our money early. You know, Cody's injured, whatever. We've got most of our signings in early, actually. So if you look at the team now, the starting 11 and the blokes who came on Saturday, you'd imagine they'll be with us for most of the season, barring a silly bid from someone. So I actually quite respect the way he's done it. He still put Danny Ward on the bench, which was a little bit strange. But I guess he's really trying to prove a point. He's absolutely right. And you know, I can get the point that the club want to make decent money out of them, but they're not really gonna, because a lot of them aren't, you know, they're pretty washed, some of the players. I mean, Castagne, yeah, we probably could have got 25 million for him a few years ago. We'll be lucky to get 10 now. It's really interesting about Suter and Christiansen as well, because I thought they'd be perfect players for the championship. Same. And if we paid 15 million for a player now, we'd be like, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. But we did that 6 months ago and now we're trying to give him away on loan. It's that feels a bit strange to me. So, but no, he's spot on. And actually, I don't think I'd be saying that if, you know, the work he hadn't done already didn't make a lot of sense. But everything he's done is making a lot of sense. The idea of getting a right winger who can do what Mavadidi does and just take the pressure off him a little bit, I think will make us so much more creative, because then there'll be a bit more mystery about our play. I still think Kel will score a lot of goals, so I'm not necessarily sure we need a striker. But yeah, we do need... I don't want Yannick at centre-half, and I think we need a viable alternative to Cody and Fez. I worry about our physicality a little bit at this level. We've not looked great at corners. You know, I would like to see a centre-back that can dominate in there. We definitely need a right winger, and then we probably need another winger that can play either side. I thought Wanyamasa had a decent game. He looks better on the left to me versus the right, because just the way he shapes up. But yeah, he's right. Just back him, give him the money. The bloke knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. And I think that's the reality, isn't it? Everything makes sense. And you know, for as long as you're winning and you're backing for as long as you're winning. And I think he, at this stage, from where we're at right now, I think he's done enough, hasn't he, to prove, or at least get that initial backing, you know, until he fails. He deserves every opportunity to succeed, doesn't he? Lads, we are at the any other stage business of the pod. Jordan, this is usually where you jump in with something you'd like to add before we finish up. Has anyone got anything? No?
I haven't got anything especially. I I'm not on Twitter, obviously, but I saw there were a few tweets talking about the atmosphere on Saturday.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good from where I was, but I don't know.
It is interesting. It is interesting now I've moved, because actually when I was in the West Stand, you could hear L1 and you could hear SK1. Whereas now I can't really hear anything other than SK1 and I can barely hear the away fans. So it must be quite noisy. I don't think the stadium acoustics are particularly good, but I think the section is great. I'm not quite in amongst it in the singing section, but it's pretty noisy. I think the crowds have been pretty good. It was we were just under 32,000 on Saturday, and Cardiff returned a load. So, I mean, that's actually, I'm sure the club do know this, but considering we've gone down and the season we've had, I think the fans have been remarkably loyal, and yeah, we've all got something to believe in. But yeah, I thought, Jordan, I was with you. I thought the atmosphere was pretty good, but people love a moan, don't they?
Yeah. Interesting. I saw Cardiff tweet that they'd sold out their away end.
They had.
Yeah, I know, but without pointing out that they'd sent, I think, 800 back. So they sold out the tickets that they made available for sale, but didn't make loads of them available for sale and sent them back to the club. But they tweeted that they'd actually sold out their away allocation. So yeah, that was a very positive and desperate attempt of a spin. But anyway, not important. Boys, shall we finish things up there? I've really enjoyed tonight's pod.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes, mate.
I just wanted to give my condolences to John Elsom's family. I know his nephew. Yeah, obviously John was our chairman and had some good times under him. So yeah, pass on my regards.
Okay.
Well done, Rick.
Right. Nice, yeah. Nice well touch.
Well said, Rick. Right. Okay, boys. Thank you very much indeed for your time this evening. Really enjoyed it. So up next for us is a trip to Rotherham. Then also we've got that cup game as well. The following week away to Tranmere. And I promise you at some point I'm going to actually watch 90 minutes of Leicester again. It's just been one of them weeks. But luckily these lads are here watching the games for us. But look, thank you for your time once again. Enjoy the week. And we'll be back with you. Yeah, same time next week. Here's Barry. But we know better. You're gonna look them in the eyes and say, we're gonna do it anyway.
Do it anyway.
We're gonna do it anyway. We're
Can I do it anywhere?
Because there's something inside so strong.
That's so strong.
I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. Oh, no, no, no. There's something inside so strong. Oh, there's something inside so strong. There's something inside so strong.
Go on, Barry.
I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride
Sports Social Podcast Network.